Bobby McMahon has scored 27% of Seattle's goals since his trade deadline arrival. 7 goals in 8 games. The most prolific post-deadline stretch in Kraken franchise history. Now the Kraken will lock him up with an extension, and McMahon's camp reportedly wants 5 years at $5 million annually. The question isn't whether Seattle should re-sign McMahon. It's whether the player they're paying for is the one who showed up these past 3 weeks, or the one who spent 4 years grinding through the AHL and ECHL before getting a real NHL look at age 26. I've been calling this the McMahon multiplier. His production has multiplied exponentially since leaving Toronto's rigid structure for Lane Lambert's green light system. But multipliers based on 8 games of data have a nasty habit of reverting to the mean. Key takeaways post-deadline dominance. McMahon has 7 goals and 4 assists in 8 games with Seattle, making him the most productive deadline acquisition in Kraken history. Contract gap killed the Toronto deal. McMahon's camp wanted 5-year/$5M. The Leafs wouldn't go near that number, leading to the March 6 trade, the Sherwood benchmark. Key for Sherwood's 5-year/$5.75M deal is the primary comparable, but McMahon's production exceeds Sherwood's pre-signing output cap room exists. Seattle project $16.7 million in. 2026-27 cap space with Gourde and Tanev off the books. Plenty of room for a $4.5-5M AV deal sustainability question. McMahon's 2025-26 shooting percentage is tracking well above his career average. Regression risk is real and must be priced into any extension. The fastest start in Kraken trade deadline history. Let's get the absurd numbers out of the way first. Since resolving his visa issues and finally suiting up for Seattle on March 14th, Bobby McMahon has scored 7 goals and added 4 assists in 8 games. He debuted with 2 goals and an assist in a 5-2 demolition of Vancouver. Then he added a power play goal and an assist in a 6-2 rout of Florida that pushed Seattle into the second wildcard spot. His 6th goal in 7 games came against Buffalo on March 28th, a game the Kraken ultimately lost in a shootout, but McMahon's fingerprints were all over the score sheet with a goal and an assist. That 27% goal share is staggering. McMahon scored 7 of the Kraken's 26 goals in those 8 games. For context, Leon Draisaitl's goal share in Edmonton, playing alongside Connor McDavid, typically hovers around 18-20%. McMahon is doing this on a Kraken team that ranks in the bottom third of the league offensively. Bobby McMahon goal in his first game with the Seattle Kraken. Bobby McMahon finds the back of the net for his 20th of the season. NHL, March 14th, 2026 McMahon's Kraken debut goal, his 20th of the season, via X, formerly Twitter. Coach Lane Lambert hasn't been shy about giving McMahon the runway. We're giving him plenty of opportunity. He's earned it. He's fit in real nicely with Kakko and Chandler Stephenson. His speed is key. We see that on a nightly basis. Lane Lambert, Seattle Kraken head coach, via Pacific North Hockey. That line combination, McMahon with Kaapo Kakko and Chandler Stephenson, has become Seattle's most dangerous unit. McMahon provides the speed and net front chaos. Stephenson controls tempo, and Kakko works the cycle. It's working because Lambert is letting McMahon play his way instead of boxing him into a checking role. Why Toronto let him walk? And why it might haunt them the McMahon trade didn't happen because Toronto wanted to move him. It happened because the Maple Leafs and McMahon's camp couldn't agree on money. Not even close. Chris Johnston reported before the deadline that McMahon's camp was looking at Kiefer Sherwood's 5-year, $5.75 million AV extension with San Jose as the comparable. McMahon, bigger, faster, and more productive than Sherwood, saw no reason to take less than $5 million. The Leafs, perpetually squeezed against the cap with Austin Matthews' situation and the Matthew Kanease deadline drama, weren't prepared to go anywhere near that number. Context matters here. McMahon didn't take the traditional path to the NHL. He went undrafted, played 4 years at Colgate University, then signed with the Toronto Marlies in the AHL. His first pro season was split between the Marlies and the ECHL's Wichita Thunder, the lowest rung of professional hockey. He scored just 2 goals in 21 AHL games that year. Then something clicked. 24 goals in 61 games the following season, a Marley's rookie record. Then 21 goals in 30 games in 2022-23 before Toronto finally gave him a real NHL look. He was 26 years old. By comparison, most NHL regulars debut at 19-21. McMahon spent 118 AHL games and 22 ECHL games proving he belonged. And now he's scoring at a pace that makes the Kraken's top line look like a finished product. McMahon himself addressed the failed negotiations after the trade. He wanted a long-term deal in Toronto, like the organization, but the gap was too wide. When a player says the gap was too wide, that typically means the team's offer was insulting relative to what the market dictated. My read? Toronto offered something in the $3-3.5M range. McMahon's camp countered at $5 million, and neither side budged. Seattle knows what happens when you let a goal scorer slip through your fingers. Morgan Geeky, a former Kraken fourth liner who left for Boston as a free agent in 2023, is finishing his second consecutive 30-goal season with the Bruins. Geeky scored 7 goals in 73 games his first year in Seattle. Now he's putting up 33 in Boston. McMahon is threatening to become the next cautionary tale if Botterill doesn't get this done. The McMahon multiplier. Is this real or a mirage? Here's where I'd bet most of the hockey world is getting this wrong. The hot take is that McMahon has found his game in Seattle and will sustain this pace. The cold take is that 8 games means nothing. The truth requires actual math. McMahon has 26 goals on approximately 145 shots this season across both Toronto and Seattle, a shooting percentage around 17.9%. His career shooting percentage before this season hovered around 12-13%. That's a significant gap. If McMahon's shooting percentage regresses even halfway toward his career average, say to 15%, his goal total drops from a 30-goal pace to roughly 25 over a full season. Still good, but not pay me $5 million good. The expected goals model adds another layer. McMahon's 26 actual goals this season likely exceed his individual expected goals, 9G, by a meaningful margin, a sign he's converting at an unsustainably high rate. When a player's goals outpace his expected goals by 5+ over a full season, history says at least half that gap closes the following year. McMahon isn't a sniper with elite shot selection like Austin Matthews. He's a volume shooter with speed who gets to dangerous spots. That profile produces goals, but it also means his conversion rate is more volatile than a pure finisher's. The analytics almost certainly flag McMahon as an overperformer right now. The question is how much of that overperformance is real skill development versus random variance. The 8-game Kraken stretch is even more extreme. 7 goals on roughly 25-30 shots is a shooting percentage north of 23%. Nobody sustains that. Not McDavid, not Ovechkin in his prime, not anyone. Scenario SH percent 82-game pace contract value current 8-game rate 23% 72 goals $7 million plus fantasy. Full season rate 17.9% 31 goals $5 million range career regression 13% 23 goals $3.5-4M range split difference 15% 26 goals $4-4.5M range. This is the central tension of the McMahon multiplier. The player Seattle is watching right now is a first-line winger worth every penny of $5 million. The player the data says he'll be over 82 games next season is a solid middle six forward worth $4-4.5 million. Seattle has to decide which version they're paying for. There's a historical precedent worth examining. Blake Coleman signed a 6-year, $4.9 million AAV deal with Calgary in 2021 after back-to-back Stanley Cups with Tampa Bay. Coleman had shown flashes of 20-goal upside in a supportive role, but was never a primary scorer. Calgary bet on the upside. Coleman delivered 17 goals his first year, then 15, then was traded. Late-blooming power forwards who hit their stride at 28-29 can sustain production. But the ones who do, guys like the veterans still producing deep into their careers, usually have a longer track record of NHL scoring before the big payday. The comparables table. What McMahon's contract should look like. Here's the part where I stop guessing and let the numbers argue. David Pagnotta reported that $5 million AAV is the ballpark. But comparables tell a more specific story. Player age pre-signing stats, AV Kiefer Sherwood, SJS, 29-17G, 23P and 47GP, $5.75 million x 5 years Blake Coleman, CGY, 29-14G, 22P and 57GP, $4.9 million x 6 years Zach Aston Reese, TOR, 28-10G. 18P and 68GP, $1.75 million x 2 years Bobby McMahon, SEA, 29-26G, 41P and 68GP, $4.5-5M x 4 years. McMahon's production blows away every comparable on this list. He has more goals at the time of negotiation than Sherwood, Coleman, or Aston Reese. That's his leverage. But McMahon also has far fewer total NHL games than any of them did at the time of their deals. Just 213 career games versus Sherwood's 300-plus and Coleman's 400-plus. That's the counterargument. My projection, 4 years at $4.75 million AAV. Here's why I land there instead of the 5 year, $5 million McMahon's camp reportedly wants. First, Seattle shouldn't go to 5 years on a player who'll be 30 when the deal starts and has only 2 full NHL seasons on his resume. Second, the shooting percentage regression risk means McMahon's goal totals will likely settle in the 22 to 26 range, not 30 plus. Third, the Jordan Kyrou situation in St. Louis shows what happens when teams overpay based on a hot stretch. They end up trying to move the contract 2 years later. I don't think it's gone very far down the road yet. We're under the impression the Kraken have indicated to McMahon that they would like to try and keep him. He's been an excellent fit. Elliot Friedman, NHL insider, via Pacific North Hockey. That Friedman quote is revealing. Haven't gone very far down the road means Seattle is watching. They want McMahon, but they're not rushing to lock in a number based on 3 weeks of data. Smart. GM Jason Botterill has called re-signing McMahon job one for the offseason, which signals intent without committing to a price. That's the right play. Can Seattle afford it? The cap math says yes. Barely Seattle projects to have approximately $16.7 million in cap space for 2026 to 27, with the salary cap ceiling expected to jump to $104 million, an $8.5 million increase. The Kraken have more breathing room than most teams chasing UFA forwards this summer. But McMahon isn't the only financial priority. Kaapo Kakko is an RFA who'll need a raise from his $2.4 million AV. Brandon Tanev and Yanni Gourde are off the books. Gourde was traded at the deadline, which frees up roughly $10 million combined. The Eberle extension at $5.5 million AAV is already accounted for. A McMahon deal at $4.75 million fits comfortably. Even at $5 million, Seattle can accommodate it and still have $10 to $11 million for Kakko's bridge deal, depth signings, and prospect call-ups. The cap isn't the obstacle here. The disagreement, if there is one, will be about term, not dollars. What kills me is the alternative. If McMahon walks to free agency in July, Seattle has spent a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick on 20 games of a rental. For a franchise that traded away Bjorkstrand, Gourde, and others at the deadline to stockpile draft capital, losing McMahon for nothing would be a brutal contradiction. You don't sell futures to acquire a player and then let him leave. That's not a rebuild strategy. That's just losing assets with extra steps. Compare this to how Florida handled Sergei Bobrovsky's extension. The Panthers identified their priority, accepted a slight overpay for certainty, and locked it down before the market could inflate the price. Seattle should take notes. Sources and reporting Pacific North Hockey. McMahon quotes, Lambert quotes, extension talks, game performance details, NHL.com. Official trade details, Botterill quotes, McMahon's Toronto stats, Chris Johnston, X/Twitter. Sherwood comparable analysis, Leafs negotiation details, Puckpedia. Contract details, cap hit, trade breakdown, Elliot Friedman, @X/Twitter. Extension talks, Kraken's intent to retain McMahon the Leafs Nation. McMahon on failed Toronto extension ESPN. Career stats, game logs. Season totals the bottom line. Seattle's $5 million bet on velocity, the McMahon multiplier is real, but it's not as big as the last. 8 games suggest McMahon isn't going to score at a 72-goal pace. He's probably not going to hit 30 goals next season either. What he will do, based on his career trajectory, physical tools, and the way Lambert is deploying him, is settle into a 23-27 goal, 45-55-point range. That's a top 9 forward worth somewhere between $4.2, $5 million, and $5 million annually. My projection, McMahon signs a 4-year extension with Seattle at $4.75 million AAV before free agency opens on July 1st. I'd bet Botterill offers 4 years at $4.5 million in the next 2 weeks. McMahon's camp counters at 5 years and $5.25 million, and they split the difference. A no-trade clause in years 1 and 2 gets the deal done. What I didn't see coming is how perfectly McMahon fits Lambert's system. This isn't just a hot streak. The speed, the net front presence, the willingness to shoot from everywhere. That's a 6'2", 217-pound winger doing exactly what he was built to do in a system that actually wants him to do it. Toronto's loss. Seattle's gain. And if Botterill lets this one walk to July, he'll be explaining the McMahon multiplier to his ownership group for years. The counter-arguments, he's just on a hot streak. 8 games means nothing. Except McMahon didn't start scoring in Seattle. He had 19 goals in 60 games in Toronto before the trade. Top 6 production in a system that wasn't designed for his skill set. The 8-game Kraken explosion is the ceiling, sure, but his floor is a 22-goal pace over a full season across 2 different systems. That floor alone is worth $4 million plus. The shooting percentage will regress from 23%, but even at 15%, you're looking at 26 goals over 82 games. That's not a heater. That's a legitimate second-line winger. Why would Seattle pay $5 million for a guy Toronto wouldn't keep? Toronto didn't let McMahon walk because they thought he was bad. They let him walk because they couldn't afford him. The Leafs have $33 million plus committed to their top 3 forwards. McMahon's $5 million ask was reasonable. It just didn't fit Toronto's math. Seattle has $16.7 million in projected cap space. The Leafs' inability to pay has nothing to do with McMahon's value and everything to do with their own roster construction. $5 million for a 29-year-old with 213 NHL games? That's risky. It would be, if the alternative wasn't worse. Seattle traded a 2nd-round pick and a 4th-round pick to acquire McMahon. If he walks in July, those picks are gone for 20 games of a rental. Sherwood got $5.75 million with worse production numbers. Coleman got $4.9 million with fewer goals. The comparables say $4.5-5M is market rate. The risk isn't paying McMahon, it's paying the next guy more, because you let McMahon leave. Can't Seattle just wait and see if he regresses? No. McMahon becomes an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. Every day, Seattle waits. Another GM watches the highlight reel and adds McMahon to their offseason board. The Kraken's leverage is right now, while McMahon is happy, settled, and playing on a line that works. Once he hits the open market, you're bidding against 10 teams with cap space. The wait-and-see approach is exactly how Seattle lost Morgan Geekie. That lesson cost him a 30-goal scorer. What if Seattle misses the playoffs? Does the extension still make sense? This extension has nothing to do with April 2026 and everything to do with October 2026. Seattle is 32-29-11 right now, a team with talent that hasn't figured out consistency. McMahon at $4.75 million on a roster with Stevenson, Kakko, Beniers, and the incoming draft capital is a core piece for next season's push. You don't sign a 29-year-old winger because of a wild card race. You sign him because he's the best goal scorer on your roster and you can't replace that production in free agency without spending more.